Leonard Center for the Performing Arts, welcoming families for the St. Petersburg State Ballet Theater's presentation of Romeo and Juliet, the National Acrobats of Taiwan, and Japan's Kodo Drummers. For more information or tickets, visit KranertCenter.com.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL-AM 580. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in today. On the program today, we'll get the scoop on cell phones, cell phone plans, and the quality of service available with one of the editors of Consumer Reports magazine. The magazine reports in its current issue, its February issue, that households with landlines and wireless spend an average of $1,400 a year for service. That number comes from the Yankee Group, a Boston research firm. Our guest this afternoon is David Heim. He is the deputy editor at Consumer Reports magazine. Among the topics he can address, developing strategies for saving money on the phone bill. What's been your experience with your carrier or carriers? If you have a tip or some advice to share, we'd love to hear from you. Your questions and comments are invited. Join us with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, if it would be a long-distance call, use the toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Again, the phone number's 333-9455, 800-222-9455. David, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Sure. You know, when I read that number, what households with landlines and wireless are spending annually, I thought, could that be? And you know, but then thinking about what we spend at our house, not that high by any means, about half that.
Okay.
So it adds up, doesn't it?
It does add up. It's also a reflection of the options available to people now that simply didn't exist 5-10 years ago. What we've been seeing over the last half dozen years is people using their landlines less, using their cell phone more. Just in the last year, there's been explosive growth in a completely new kind of phone service that sends phone messages over the internet instead of over regular phone lines. So there's that third choice to consider as well. And in a way, phone service is like building expressways. If you build a big highway, it fills up with cars. If you build another highway, it fills up with cars too. And you see the same thing with phone service. If you give people more options, they start using them more.
We already have a listener waiting to talk with us, so let's go ahead and take this call. A listener in Champaign on line one. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I have a question about cell phones.
Sure.
I have a friend that wants one that is like a truly disposable phone in the sense that, you know, he doesn't have much usage. He wants it just kind of as an emergency kind of a thing or used very infrequently. And we've looked, and it seems like a lot of the pay-as-you-go things have minutes that expire in a fairly short period of time.
Right.
Is there any other option at this point, or do we just have to wait a little longer to see what might come up?
For someone like your friend who really does want a cell phone just for emergencies, doesn't want to get locked into a long-term contract, prepaid cell phone service is the best option, I think. We covered very briefly in the February Consumer Reports, but one characteristic of all the prepaid plans is that the minutes you buy don't last forever. You do have to use them or you wind up losing them.
Mm-hmm.
On the plus side, you can buy only as many as you think you're going to need. So if you don't come out even, you won't be too far in the hole. You should also look, I think, in depth or have your friend look at some of the options for TracFone, which is one of the biggest prepaid cell phone companies.
Okay.
I think they have a plan that that gives you, it's not a contract, mind you, but you can have a year's worth of minutes.
Okay.
I think that's the case. They have a website. I think it's trackphone.com.
Okay.
You could certainly check there. They also are sold at a number of stores like Best Buy, Circuit City, places like that. So they're fairly easy to find.
Okay. All right. Then I will hang up and listen. Thank you for your help.
Thanks for the call. Other calls are invited. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. These prepaid phones and prepaid phone cards can be pretty useful. What is the limitation on using those minutes within a given period of time?
Well, using a minutes with a cell phone really doesn't have much of a downside. You want to, if you're considering a prepaid plan, you want to make sure that the what the reach of the phone is. Most prepaid plans are, as I understand it, pretty local. So if you need to use the cell phone for long distance calls, it may eat up your minutes fairly quickly. You want to check the specifics of the plan. Calling cards are a very different situation. I see them at the post office, at the pharmacy. They're all over.
Mm-hmm.
Not all cards are created equal. They're a very handy way to make long-distance calls, conventional long-distance calls, without having to sign up for, you know, AT&T or MCI's or Sprint's long-distance service. A few downsides. Sometimes there are extra little connection charges and fees that you wouldn't necessarily know about. That eats into the value of the card. Biggest problem that researchers found is that they round up your calls not to the nearest minute, but sometimes to the closest 8 or 9 minutes.
Hmm.
So if you make a 2-minute call on one of these cheesy cards, you'll use up 8 minutes of time on the card. And it's hard to find out what the specifics are. So overall, cards can be valuable, but you just have to know what you're getting into. Again, there are plenty of websites out there to check into low-cost, long-distance calling and calling cards. So it's possible to do some of the research ahead of time if you're diligent.
Okay, let's talk with another listener, caller in Urbana on line one. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
I'm a low vision person, and mm-hmm. I'm interested in having a cell phone. Is there one available for that type?
I'm not aware of any that are specifically made for people with low vision. I had someone else ask me about this not too long ago. My advice was to shop for a phone that has the biggest display you can find,
mm-hmm.
So that numbers will be as large
as
possible.
Yes, it's the numbers that you need, you know.
Right. And look for one, however you would do that, that's as bright as you can get it.
I see.
There are differences. Obviously, mm-hmm. the brighter, the better. And check the keypad, too. Make sure it's got big numbers and big keys so that you can press them easily.
Yes, that's my problem, is finding the right key, finding the right number.
There are some cell phones, and we've got pictures in our February issue of Consumer Reports. Nokia is notorious for this. They're one of the big cell phone makers. They design really funny keypads.
Oh.
Where the keys are funny shapes and in funny arrangements.
That's interesting, yes. Would
The right thing for somebody with low vision. You want a keypad that's big and predictable so you know where the number 5 key is all the time.
Well, I'm sure
exactly see it clearly.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I'm sure in time someone will have it.
It's possible. Mention it to my colleagues and see if they can turn up anything.
Yeah, that's a great question. I know that some of the phones with the more bells and whistles on them, I know somebody in the office got one for Christmas, and you can load in voice commands.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, call Mary.
That is a common feature on a lot of phones, and it works. That would be handy, of course, for, and thank you for bringing that up. It hadn't occurred to me. But for other things, you know, for navigating to find the right function on the phone, big display and big keys would certainly be a help. They're a help to just about anybody.
Yeah.
Some of the phones are so small that they can be difficult to use because it's hard to aim right in on the one tiny key you want.
Yeah, you need a pencil to make the to make the call. Yeah, let's talk with another listener. Interbana, line two. Hi.
Hi. Hi. I just wanted to say I moved here about 4 or 5 months ago from Ohio, and in Ohio I had, of course, a landline as well as a cell phone and a phone at work, which of course was all I ever needed. And I found that I was basically at home using my cell phone. I was making primarily long distance calls. I didn't really need the land phone. And I'd had some problems with the connection with the land phone anyway. So I decided that when I moved here, I would see about just using a cell phone. And that's what I did. I signed up here. I live in Savoy. I signed up here with Verizon as my carrier.
And,
I haven't regretted it for a second. I don't pay the exorbitant monthly cost for the land phone. And my cell phones work fine. You know, sometimes it cracks up, and sometimes it's not as dependable as a land phone. But I really don't miss my land phone at all.
Well, you're in good company. More and more people, mainly people under the age of 30, but others as well, are getting rid of the landline and only using the cell phone. It can save them money because you don't have to pay two monthly charges.
Right.
And the main thing is you want to be sure you really get good service where you need it, that you can, you know, make a call not only from the kitchen but also from the living room. One of the other concerns too is with emergency calls, something people don't like to think about, but with cell phones, what we found in our research at Consumer Reports is that a call to 911 doesn't always go through, and it will, of course, on a landline. That is a concern. It's a reason why our advice has been don't completely cut the cord, because you want to make sure you can get through to the authorities in an emergency.
Right.
You know, that would be the biggest downside to not using a landline.
Yeah, you know, I did consider that when I moved here. Fortunately, I live right across the street or right near the post office.
Ah.
I figured that if I ever had anything, you know, too bad happen, I could go over there, or I could tell them that I'm right by the post office. So,
you know, one of our money-saving strategies that we have in the February Consumer Reports is if you have to make a lot of long-distance calls, you really should think about using your cell phone for those calls, because with most cellular calling plans these days, you get essentially unlimited long-distance calling.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have to pay extra charges on top of it. So you can drop your landline long distance, cut back on your landline local service to something really basic, and use the cell phone as the workhorse phone.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, that's it. Thanks a lot.
You found a good strategy.
Thanks
it
for the
work
call
for you
this afternoon. And one of the interesting things my husband and I have found is that we invested in a headset for the cell phone, and it makes long distance calling to talk with family and friends in a relaxed kind of way. It makes it so much easier, and we are now using the cell phone primarily as our long distance thing.
I think that's going to become increasingly common. Certainly you're not alone. You and the caller both. We have talked with other people who are doing the same thing. And it's affordable, and as you say, if you use a headset, you can be, you know, finishing the cooking in the kitchen while you talk. You don't have to be locked into just sitting there making a phone call.
Yeah, you can be knitting a sweater or
whatever
you want
to
do. Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Charleston, line one. Hello.
Hello.
one of the things you mentioned was the 911 emergency services.
Mm-hmm.
And since I travel and I use a cell phone a lot, and I'm usually in the same 10 counties or so, I have programmed into my phone all the police and all the county sheriffs.
Well, that's a help if you can predict where you're going to be. And certainly, if you are on the road and you need to make an emergency call, you want to make sure that the call goes through and gets to the closest correct emergency center. If it works for you, great. What we found in our own research is that, as a very general rule, if you're out traveling, you're driving across country, you wouldn't know who the local sheriff is. Making a cell phone call to 911, can be, less than a sure thing.
Yeah, I've noticed too that when I've used 911, sometimes it'll go to the previous county or a county adjacent, and I've found that hit and miss. Also, a question though, I gave up on my home phone,
mm-hmm.
and I have one appliance at home, a satellite receiver, that occasionally would like to dial out, and that's the only downside to not having a landline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A TiVo, a satellite dish. You need the phone service there for the program guide, and
yes.
That's aside from emergencies. That's one other use for landline. Good reminder. Again, that had escaped me. That's a good reminder to give to people.
But other than that, I have no desire for a home phone anymore.
Well, one of the reasons I think people are cutting the cord is the cell phone has moved from a gee whiz thing for road warriors into a very mundane, everyday thing that more and more people find essential. And if it looks like a phone and it works like a phone, then people start to treat it like a phone, and they find that they only need one of them.
Well, myself and my two children, we have three cell phones that we can carry in our pockets for less than the cost of the one phone that had to stay at home.
The economics of phone service can be daunting sometimes, depending on how complicated your own particular family situation is. We've got a number of strategies in the February consumer reports that can help people sort it out, even if they think they're not spending a lot of money on phone service and probably don't have many places to save. We can still point them to places where they can save a couple of bucks a month.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for the call this afternoon, and I hope in a little while here we'll go over maybe a couple of these strategies and talk about what kind of phone user you are and how to kind of begin to sort through the options. But in the meantime, let's go to another caller. Our guest this afternoon on the Afternoon Magazine, David Heim, Deputy Editor at Consumer Reports, the February issue of Consumer Reports magazine deals largely with telephones, cell phone plans, landline, quality of service available, all kinds of things in the February issue involving phones. If you'd like to talk with us this afternoon, pick up the phone, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area if you'd like to talk with us. Anywhere else, if it would be a long-distance call, you can use our toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Next, we go to a listener in Champaign, line 2. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Good.
I turned on the radio while the gentleman that was talking about different plans and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, my name is Michael Hill, and I'm looking to get another cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for a good plan, a good service, and I'm looking for something. I'm not a talker. I don't do a lot of talking, but I do. I'm on the go a lot. And I like a phone, for pretty much, business and some social talk. And I was wondering if you can give me a a good service, direct me into to a good service that has a good plan and whatnot.
We can certainly give it a try. What we found, and what we've reported in the February Consumer Reports, is the company to look at first is Verizon, and we say that based on a survey we did of 39,000 subscribers to our website, just asking them how happy, how satisfied they were with the cell phone service they have. And we found this year, as we have in two previous surveys, that Verizon was the one people were the most satisfied with. Doesn't mean it's perfect, doesn't mean it's right for everyone, but it's certainly the company I would recommend trying first. Second choice would be T-Mobile. They were sometimes dead even with Verizon, sometimes just a point or two behind.
As far as
In terms of overall satisfaction, again, doesn't mean they're problem-free. They just had somewhat fewer problems than some of the others. In terms of a plan, you know, are two basic pieces of advice. First, if you're not sure how many minutes you think you're going to be using in a month, be generous and don't try to you know, cheap out on the minutes, because if you exceed the limit in your plan, it costs you a lot. It can cost you 45, 50 cents a minute
to
go over. So you're better off just buying more minutes and you know, letting some of them go unused from one month to the other. Second, whichever company you try and whichever plan you choose, be sure to take advantage of the trial period that the cell phone carrier will offer. It can be as little as 2 weeks or as much as a month. But you want to really give the phone a good workout in that period so that if there's anything that isn't satisfactory to you, you can cancel the deal, take the phone back, and try again with a different carrier without having to pay, you know, $100 or $200 for a cancellation fee.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. I know I was looking for, you know, a good reasonable, you know, monthly deal, you know.
Your cell phone plans tend to start at around $30 a month, and that gives you, it depends on the carrier, 300 or 400 minutes a month, which is, you know, 10 minutes of talking time a day. You go up from there in dollars and in minutes. But if you want it for work as well as for after-hours talking, it sounds like you're going to want more than 10 minutes of talking a day. You'd probably want to look at a plan that had 600 or 700 minutes at least in it. As I say, be generous. If you aren't sure how many minutes you're going to use, buy more than you think you're going to need.
And the last one I had, you know, I didn't need all the minutes, and I asked them to give me a different plan, and they were very, you know, nice about it. They gave me a, you know, a more reasonable plan, and I didn't have that many minutes. I take it, do would they still allow that with some of these other places, you know?
Yeah, it's possible to change the plan. Sometimes they will tell you, well, we can change that, but we'll have to extend your contract for another year or 2 years. If you can avoid that, avoid getting a contract extension, I would say yes, avoid it, because you don't want to have yourself locked in for a lifetime with a carrier. You don't know what's going to happen in 2 years.
Right, and I just want a 1 year contract, man. You know,
that is another piece of advice we give in Consumer Reports. Go for the shortest contract you can get, and do that even if it means paying a few bucks extra for the telephone itself. Just again, because you don't want to be locked into a very, very long term contract.
Yeah, you know, and I just want to say this. I'm going to get off the line. You know, a two-year contract to me is just too long. You know, anything can happen to the carrier and whatnot. And, you know, I just like to say, you know, I see, like, in the future, you know, pretty soon, I think they're just going to have disposable phones, you know.
A couple of people have tried to bring them out, but they haven't really hit the market yet.
Oh, really?
The closest we've come is prepaid plans, where you buy minutes and then use them as you need them without a long-term contract. That can be an option as well for some people.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome.
Good luck. Next, we talk with a listener in Urbana, line one. Hi.
Hi. My question has to do with cell phones, landlines, and internet service. My husband and my son and I, all three of us have cell phones. We have a landline in the house, and we have DSL. And I know that from our current phone service provider, we can't just get a DSL line. Is that something that you see happening more in the future, that landline telephone services such as, for example, SBC or McLeod or whatever, they'll offer more just DSL packages because people are using their cell phones for phone service?
I think that's going to happen, yes. I think you're going to see much more intense competition as well among the traditional phone companies, the cell phone companies, and cable companies, trying to offer some flavor of phone service. All the major cable companies now are offering this voice over internet, digital telephoning, they sometimes call it, in a very big, aggressive way. And we've taken a look at it. We've got results of a test we ran on this kind of service in the February Consumer Reports. Bottom line for trying to sort out all the options is you really need to start with a very careful look at where you're putting your money now and how you're dividing up the phone service among landline, wireless, and anything else. And then look at each of those kinds of usage and your overall pattern and say, well, okay, if I'm paying $10 a month for call waiting on my landline, and call waiting and call forwarding, but I'm also getting those same features for free on my cell phone, maybe I don't need them on the landline.
Right. I think the problem that we're encountering now is that when we signed our contract for DSL to get the rate that we were getting, and this was before we all had cell phones, they locked us in. They forced us to sign a contract for 2 years.
Mm.
And when we were doing this, we don't have cable TV. We didn't want to pay for a cable modem installation or whatever to have them come out and do whatever it was they were doing. So now I feel kind of stuck. I mean, I've talked to our provider, and they say that they don't do that, and do they have any plans to do it in the future, and they can't say.
Mm-hmm. This is internet phoning, or
this is DSL.
DSL
through the phone company.
Okay,
which means if we terminate the contract, then it's going to cost $100 or $200 or whatever.
Yeah.
To go and to get internet through cable. Plus, then you have to have the installation for the cable. What
right.
we wanted to do was drop the landline entirely, just the phone part of it. Just have DSL cell phones, and that way we would eliminate the landline altogether. Although I am talking to you on our landline now, we rarely use it. So I'm just wondering if in the future the telephone companies are actually going to go, especially since our phone service provider also owns our cell phone service provider, I wish that there was a way they could make it work for their customers.
Well, time will tell. I think the phone companies, if they're smart, will figure out that it's in their best interest to unbundle certain services and just offer DSL to people who just want that and offer voice to people who want that. In the meantime, I'd say there's no harm in keeping the DSL you have and the landline you have. Certainly you would want the landline for the most dependable way to reach the authorities in an emergency. You would want it for the most dependable kind of phoning if there's a power outage for some reason. So there's reasons to keep a landline, even if you don't use it all the time.
It
doesn't
like
mean you have to buy the biggest, fanciest calling plan,
right.
A very, very basic, almost kind of what they call a lifeline plan might be more appropriate.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And next we go to a listener on line four in Charleston. Hello.
Good afternoon. I wanted to ask, one of my questions had to do with voice over IP through,
sure.
through, but I think you've largely answered that.
Okay.
But I was wondering, have you run across very many situations where our local phone provider, which is an independent in downstate Illinois, is now offering the whole package, including voice DSL as well as cable over over the copper line coming into the house. Have you talked to very many people who have those kind of services in your investigation?
To be honest, no, we haven't. Every company approaches the market in a different way, and there aren't that many companies that are offering what they call a triple play, wireless, landline, high-speed internet access. You know, there are advantages to having everything with one carrier. You know, it's one customer service department, it's one bill. There's a certain simplicity to it. On the other hand, you know, the one company may not have the best rates, or with cellular, it may not have the best service. So,
right.
You do need to look at, we think at Consumer Reports anyway, that you need to look at your whole phone usage and figure out the most optimum kind of service and the optimum mix of companies for you. An all-in-one plan can make a lot of sense. Sometimes going a la carte and buying different things from different companies makes sense too.
Yeah, I suppose. The cable television provider here in this area, frankly, has had kind of a notorious poor quality problem with its reception and so forth. And I had thought about going to satellite TV, but when I heard about the local phone company doing it this way, I thought, well, I'll give that a try. No extended contracts required and so forth. And I kind of like the simplicity of having everything come in, having one bill.
Sure. As long as you don't get locked into a long-term contract and you are free to switch around from month to month as you need to, there's no harm in trying out different things to see how well it works, how it affects your monthly bill.
I understand that it may be Verizon or SBC I've forgotten which, is proposing to build fiber into their homes of their customers, which would allow them to do what this company down here is doing. I suspect that'll be a future trend to look at.
Both Verizon and SBC are ramping up, as I understand it, for some very ambitious use of fiber optics, just as you say, to be able to offer a wide range of services to their customers.
Right. Thanks very much.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Next, we talk with a listener in Southern Illinois on line 3. Hello.
Hi. I was interested in the privacy of cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
In a rural area where a lot of people have scanners, and they pick up 800 megahertz, the phone like that.
Yeah. Privacy on a cell phone is an issue, and it's possible to tap into a conversation with a scanner. I have to confess, it's not a situation we've looked at in our testing program here.
Do you have any idea how many distance is?
No, I don't. I would imagine it's relatively short range, but I'm only guessing. I think if it's a concern, you would want to make sure you weren't talking about really sensitive private things on your cell phone.
So
you
there
could
is no cell phone
limit
there
it on
to block
to
that.
What you were doing on your landline.
Mm-hmm. There's no cell phones that block.
No cell phone what?
That can block the scanner.
I'm not aware of any.
Okay. And another question I had was on health issues, health effects of... cell phones, has that ever been addressed?
Yeah, there's been a lot of research, most of it done in Europe, on the health effects of cell phones from the radio, they call it RF emissions from the phone and the phone antenna. The studies so far have shown no evidence of outright harm.
Mm-hmm.
But the researchers still say we don't want to give cell phones a completely clean bill of health. They haven't been used for that many years. We just don't know if there are any long-term effects. In fact, there was just a study, I was looking at a study just before we went on the air from a British safety organization advising people to limit use of cell phones by kids, especially young kids around 7 or 8 years old. There are a lot of reasons to follow that advice that have nothing to do with safety.
I just remember several years ago brain tumors and things like that were mentioned.
There's never been any study that showed that cell phones can cause malignant tumors.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of suspicion, and there have been dozens and dozens of studies done in the last half dozen years of various kinds. And as I say, none of them has shown any clear evidence that there's direct harm from a cell phone.
But they're still studying it.
They're still studying. There's work going on in this country as well as in Europe. I think if you're a couple of things you can do if you're concerned. One is use a hands-free headset, because that'll keep the phone and its antenna away from your head.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing you can do is just use the phone in moderation.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to, work with your kids to help them understand the importance of using a phone in moderation, not only for health but also for the economics of it all.
Yeah, and for quality of life.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. Let's talk with another listener in Eureka, line 2. Hello.
Good afternoon. 2 short questions, please. One afternoon, I went to a local restaurant and had a cup of coffee and got into a conversation with a waitress about cell phones. And she highly recommended U.S. Cellular. I wonder if you have an opinion as to its plan.
I'm afraid I don't. We base our ratings of the carriers on the survey we do of our subscribers. And we need a certain number of subscribers in a particular area to be able to make a judgment about that carrier with some confidence. We haven't been able to get enough responses for any of the smaller regional companies like U.S. Cellular or Centennial or Alltel. So we just don't have any information.
And I wonder, secondly, if you could just maybe speak a little bit more specifically about why Verizon, in your opinion, or I guess in the results of your survey with your subscribers, that Verizon has the best plan?
It's the best of a mediocre lot, just fewer problems than the others. It doesn't mean people rave about Verizon. It just means that they were, if you will, less dissatisfied.
I see. Mainly, they had less complaints about them than they did about the other carriers. Okay,
correct.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. And I know that in the ratings section here, you've also taken it by area of the country and by city, and I suspect that we would be in the Chicago set up here, and the range is pretty close in terms of customer satisfaction.
That's right.
In the
Chicago area,
yeah.
Verizon and T-Mobile were dead even in overall customer satisfaction. And when we looked separately at different aspects of their service, again, pretty closely matched. The other companies, Singular, Sprint, Nextel, AT&T, all trailed. They all trailed Verizon and T-Mobile. In some cases, they were considerably lower in overall satisfaction than T-Mobile or Verizon.
Yeah. Now, in the Chicago market, Singular came in third.
Mm-hmm.
The Verizon was Verizon and T-Mobile virtually neck and neck,
right.
Are neck and neck, then Singular, then Sprint, Nextel, and then AT&T.
Right. And, of course, Singular now owns AT&T, and Sprint wants to buy Nextel.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk with another listener. Line one, listener in Urbana. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So far, I've been using internet, cell phone, and the landline. I've been pleased enough with the declining rates of the cell phone package that I've abandoned the landline almost completely.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to abandon it completely, except I still need, on occasion, to receive and or send faxes. Is there a service that you are aware of or have reviewed that would enable me to somehow route the faxes through to my internet connection, or enable me to do the faxing without a landline?
We have not looked at any service that would allow that. Doesn't mean it wouldn't exist. I would start by, if you're already using voice over internet, I would check your provider's website or give their customer service office a call to find out what they do say about sending faxes. On the face of it, I can't see any reason why a fax wouldn't go over the internet as well as a voice call does. But I'm not an engineer, so I don't want to say for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Next, we talk with a listener on line four in Indiana. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Let me speak quickly to the lady who was concerned about her cell phone messages being intercepted. They can be. Most of the scanners, the high-end price scanners from the early 90s, which I own three, can be changed easily, or somebody that knows a little bit about electronics can do it for you, because their plans are available on the Internet, as far as that go,
mm-hmm.
to get this out of your frequencies. And my advice is that, as you said, if she's going to say anything of any importance and she's concerned, she should not say it. People don't usually just sit around listening, but I know there are people who do that, listen to the the messages, because a lot of them are, risque and that kind of thing that turns some people on. Second thing, I know that Consumer Reports is an organization that does not accept advertising. But I thought in terms like when you're doing sale of your phones, I don't know what your parameters are, but it would be nice for those of us who read your magazine and subscribe to it, that you sort of put the cellular people feet to the grindstone sometimes and ask them about, the triple thing. I would get rid of my landline in a heartbeat, except that's where I get my DSL from.
Mm-hmm.
And though you can go to the cable and use their modem, the cable's down a lot compared to what the phones are down. And so that was the decision there, that we always wanted to have excess to the computer under any circumstance, that may be a nice storm.
We're always happy to put big companies' feet to the fire. That never bothers us at all.
Yeah.
Realistically, I think for the next half dozen years, we consumers are in for some interesting times as far as phone service goes, because, as we were saying earlier, there are so many choices now that simply didn't exist before. So many companies trying to get into the telecommunications market with voice over internet and so on, that we're entering an era when there's going to be a lot of change, a lot of new players, and some of that redundancy, some of those options are going to fall by the wayside as people migrate to one or another of them. But it's going to take some time. We can't, in this digital day and age, can't just say, well, we want to run a line from point A to point B, and that'll do it. Sometimes the shortest distance is halfway around the world.
Yeah, I like that attitude, but I think we have a case where we can show that this may not go as fast as people want as in the cable industry. you know, you can get up to 150 cables on a satellite or, or, you know, and if you use the actual cable, you can get less, but about as many. And if they don't come the way they package them to you, you don't get what you want. Like, you know, I'd like maybe only 10, but unfortunately, of those 10, they are in three different categories that they program.
Mm-hmm.
And they just,
there is a growing movement for what's known as a la carte cable programming, and we've been an advocate of that approach. Instead of, you know, packages of channels and services that go unused. The unfortunately, the Federal Communications Commission doesn't see things our way. They came out with a report a few months ago that purported to show that a la carte cable pricing would actually increase cable rates.
We know where the FCC's pockets. Which pocket they're in, that's for sure. I'll get off. I think you're getting close to the end here. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah. What else did you want to say, David, about the FCC report?
Well, just that I, as far as we're concerned, cable pricing is certainly an issue. It's a sore spot for a lot of consumers. You know, cable companies are not terribly well liked because of the frequency with which their rates go up, and a la carte pricing and some of these other issues are very much at the fore. And as things change and evolve with telecommunications, with other kinds of on-demand kinds of services for entertainment, movies, music, and all the rest. The cable industry, as well as the traditional phone industry, is going to have to do a lot of changing and find new and hopefully better ways of serving its customers and giving them the kinds of services they want at a price that they can afford.
That's right. They better listen to us.
Right. We're paying their bills after.
That's right. We are the customer, and the customer is maybe not, if always right, usually right.
There you go.
Our guest this afternoon has been David Heim. He is deputy editor, forgive me, at Consumer Reports magazine. And one of the major features of this, the current issue, the February issue of Consumer Reports magazine, Best Phones and Plans. And that is in the February issue of Consumer Reports. And again, our thanks this afternoon to David Heim of Consumer Reports for joining us. David, thank you very much.
Hi, it was fun. Love to do it again soon sometime.
Okay, very, very good. Let's find out now what happened today on the Chicago Board of Trade. Here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Celeste, and good afternoon, everyone. It was a tough day if you were a producer, particularly in that corn pit where we saw falls to contract lows in several months on bigger than expected U.S. and world corn supply estimates released by USDA before the open this morning. Let's go ahead and get you caught up with the price settlements. We'll begin, as we always do, over in the wheat pit. March wheat, a high on the day of 308.5, a low of 302, settling 307.25, up 3/4. May, a high of 317, a low of 310.5, settling 314.25, up 1/4. July, a high of 323, a low of 318, settling 321.5, up 1.5. September, a high of 327.5, a low of 324, settling 326.5, unchanged. December wheat, a high of 337, a low of 332.5, settling 334.75, down 1.5. And then that pricing action in the corn pit. Be sure to tune in at 206 after the news to the closing market report, as Paul Cooley will be on to talk about why it was that corn set a new contract low today. The March contract, a high on the day of 203, a low of $2, settling $2.50, down 6.25. May, a high of 211, a low of 208, settling 208.25, down 6.25. July, a high of 218, a low of 215.25, settling 215.5, down 6. September, a high of 225.5, a low of 222. 2.5, settling 222 and 3 quarters, down 5.5. December, a high of 234 and a half, a low of 232, settling 232 and a half, down 4 and 3 quarters. And March, a high of 240 and 3 quarters, a low of 239 and a half, settling 239 and 3 quarters, down 4.5. March Oats, a high of 163 and 3 quarters, a low of 160 and a quarter, settling 163 and 3 quarters, up 2 and a quarter. May, a high of 156 and 1 half, a low of 154 and a quarter, settling 156, up 3 quarters on the day. The USDA reports were presumably neutral to slightly friendly for the soybean pit, but most contracts suffering double-digit losses today. Let's look at the January to begin with. A high on the day of 560, a low of 552, settling 554, down 3.5. March, a high of 541, a low of 533, settling 533 and 3 quarters, down 9.5. May, a high of 543, a low of 535.5, settling 536 and a quarter, down 10.25. July, a high of 549, a low of 541, settling 541.5, down 11.5. August, a high of 549, a low of 543.5, settling 543.5 on the low, down 11.5 as well. September, a high of 549, a low of 543, settling 543, down 11. And November, a high of 558.5, a low of 551, settling just off the low, 551.5, down 10.75 on the day. January soybean meal, a high of 166.50, a low of 164.80, settling 165.50, down 150. March, a high of 164.50, a low of 161.60, settling 161.90, down 330. January soybean oil, a high of 19.80, a low of 19.57, settling 19.61, down 21. And then the March contract, a high of 1994, a low of 1955, settling 1969, down 28 on the day. The settlement prices are also in at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, where in the cattle, at least, Celeste, it was a mixed day.
That's right, Dave. Let's start off with cattle. January feeder cattle, 105.90, the high, 105 even, the low, 105.75, the settlement, that up 10 cents. March, 103.10, the high, 101.80, the low, 102.37.5, the settlement, that down 70. April, 101.10, the high, $100.10, the low price, the settlement, $100.92.5, that down 27.5. January live cattle, I'm told, very low volume here today, which explains these numbers, 93 even across the board here, high, low, and settlement, up $1. February live cattle, 92.45, the high, 91.17.5, the low, 92.05, the settlement, that up 17.5. April, 90.30, the high, 89.02.5, the low, 89.80, the settlement, that down 20. February lean hawk, 77.35, the high, 75.72.5, the low, the settlement, 75.80, that down 125. April, 77.40, the high, 76.45, the low, 77.07.5, the settlement, that down 62.5. May lean hog, 76.95, the high, 76.25, the low, 76.42. 2.5 the settlement.